Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
4 years have passed since the mortal races banded together and stood united against the might of the Burning Legion. Though Azeroth was saved, the tenuous pact between the Horde and the Alliance has all but evaporated. The drums of war thunder once again.
Well, if you're not familiar with that, I can guarantee you that your teenage son is, or perhaps your 30-year-old son, is a little bit of World of Warcraft, a world, a real, well, it's virtual, but it is as real as a virtual world can be, and it is populated by millions, and I am not joking, one of the most popular online community kind of games, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. How should Christians understand a whole new world that is virtual and at the same time not always virtual, something real about it? And how should Christians approach this new it is a public square. People go there. They may not live their lives physically there, but they live their lives in some of these games and deal with the issue also of gaming addiction for the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Live this Wednesday, October the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, who I suspect is a gamer. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania, and he's host of a video podcast called Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. It's good to be back.
What is different? I mean, most people probably have some passing, of a certain age, have some passing understanding of what gaming is today, but let's just take the person for whom gaming via a computer or console consisted of Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Frogger, and we're dating ourselves. What's different about gaming today, Jonathan?
Yeah, you're mentioning like Atari games in the early 1980s. I think I first got to see one of those when I was about 6 or 7 years old, just so I can date myself next to you. The first thing that comes to my mind when you ask that kind of a question, though, what's different about games today, is which game are you talking about? Because the main difference between, say, Atari game systems and what you can find out there today is the massive diversity. Games are so different now because of the technology and the ability of game creators to kind of create whatever they want, that there are games for everything. From if you're playing on a Wii system with motion controls, you can play a game where you get to pet little animals and feed them so that a 5-year-old girl can kind of have a good time taking care of virtual pets, to the what you mentioned with World of Warcraft, a massive multiplayer online role-playing game where you are taking on a persona of sorts, playing a role within a team to overcome massive puzzles involved in the midst of a fantasy story. A narrative, it's almost impossible to nail it down with, you know, what's different, other than the technology has just evolved beyond anyone's imagining. If you go back and watch 2001 A Space Odyssey, there are some things that they could do in that movie that we can't do, but in many other ways, we far surpassed the technology they were available. We're living in Star Trek age, when I can pick up a droid, and you know, it's like having a I forget what they call them because I'm not a Trekkie. Have one of those little things Captain Kirk would pick up. Where you can play these games on phones now. I mean, it's unbelievable how much has changed.
Okay, let's talk about the one that that you mentioned. Probably the most successful game franchise probably in the history so far of gaming, especially online gaming and multiplayer gaming, World of Warcraft. Just explain in layman's terms what it is. I know that you probably spend some time there, Jonathan. I mean, literally, it's a world. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's a world. It's a story. It's a movie that you get to kind of go into and live, sort of. I mean, it's not that realistic, but you create a character, and he that you start at a level one in the middle of this kind of war that's taking place, and you develop that character. You get to read a storyline through a variety of quests that you do, but at the same time, you play on what's called a realm, which is just a fancy way of a server, which holds a certain number of players, and all those players are there as well. And so you run into them, and you join teams with them. You compete sometimes with them, but other times you work together to overcome things. It is a fantasy world of sorts, kind of a dragons and elves and wizards and all this kind of stuff. And yet it has epic level kind of mythological story ideas. It pulls a lot of imagery from Norse and Norse mythology, really, in terms of its great story arc. Other than that, it's hard to explain without you going into it, which it isn't for everybody. But what it is a giant puzzle. That's maybe the best way I can describe it. A giant puzzle within a fantasy genre. And for many, many people, this is something that is just appealing. They grew up reading Tolkien books and watching the Smurfs on TV, and somehow this has brought it all together for them in a way that not only can they enjoy the story, but they can be a part of the story and then run into real people and develop real relationships, even though they are online relationships, but real relationships with people.
So we're talking not just about a game, but about a community as well.
Absolutely. To the point where if you weren't a player yourself, it's almost hard to describe how interactive this community is. I mean, 5 million people worldwide playing this game, and it's still growing. Its fourth expansion is about to come out just in a couple of months or in the next month or so. Huge websites devoted to news, Twitter feeds, Facebooks. I mean, you can't even begin to tap the surface of how deep it is and how real it is. Even within the game itself, one of the first things that will happen if you want to play it at any kind of higher level is you need to join something called a guild, which is just within your server. It's completely player-created and organized, but it's like a team that you join, and you have to communicate with this guild, so you get a voice communication software called Ventrilo most people use, and you end up meeting these people and talking with them on a daily basis, if not on a... for me, when I play on these things called raids, which are these really intricate puzzles at the end of the game, you need to play about 3 times a week for a couple hours. And so in 3 evenings a week, I would go and play after 9 o'clock. And you get to know these people then. You're living with them. They're not family, but they are friends. And they're a community that maybe you don't even like them all that much, right? You have your quirks as personalities, but you get to know each other. It's almost like a virtual neighborhood of sorts. That's just, smaller portion of it.
And it overlaps, I mean, because it is virtual, because it is in the realm of both the internet and computers, where you live, who you know, who you are, none of that is really relevant inside the game because this is a virtual world that knows no boundaries. People of different countries playing with one another, people who've moved away, friends from high school who haven't seen each other for 25 years, live on the opposite side of the country, still playing together here. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite aspects of the game, and maybe even part of the reason that I have continued to play is that it was a friend from the seminary who first introduced me to the game, and it's how we stay in contact. We get to talk 3 times a week as we play this game together, and at times we go into a separate corner of Ventrilo and we'll talk about parish ministry and stuff, but usually we're just staying in touch. There's someone in my guild that lives in Asia. I'm not quite sure what time of day he's playing at over there compared to here. And there are servers in different, there's European servers and Asian servers, but it is worldwide. That way of being able to stay in touch is just one of the ways that new media has really helped with the mobile climate of America in the last 20 years. More and more people moving away from where they grew up and being forced to kind of create a new environment, a new network of friends and people, and yet these technologies have really allowed people to stay in touch, and it's a good thing. That's a whole different conversation, really, when you get into new media, and it is, in some ways, very isolating as well. It's not all good. I mean, let it sound like I think this is all just miraculous or something, and there are problems involved with this, too, as there are in any culture. But the game has formed a part of that, and in that way it's integral to 4 or 5 million people, the way they do stay in touch with their friends.
Talk about, we've only got about a minute and a half here before we take a break, but talk about the distinction between, and then the blurring of that distinction between, fantasy and reality.
Yeah, this is a good topic and a kind of a long topic. I don't think that the church has ever really come to a real comfort zone with this, and maybe that's a good thing. On the one hand, you have something like a C.S. Lewis Narnia books, where Lewis, who was a student of mythology, loved epic poetry from old ancient sources, writes children's books telling the Christian story and embodying the Christian ethos, but in this fantasy world. And then on the other end, you have real-life pagan ritual that does exist in the United States today, Wicca being kind of a pop form of this. And then you have the kind of what lies between these two things, people who actually believe in many gods and try to reach them and interact with them through ritual and various things, and a world that is completely made up. It doesn't exist. Somebody in their head makes up the world called Babalaboo, where all the people have the religion of Fifalafah, right? And what's right and what's wrong, and how does one discern what's safe and what's not as a Christian to participate in? And there isn't a black and white answer to that, the same way there isn't a black and white answer to a lot of the things of the first article of creation. Can you play cards or can you not play cards? Well, there are times when playing cards seems pretty harmless. There are times when playing cards can destroy lives. And when the church goes and tries to give a black and white answer, that's often some of the darkest times in our history in terms of legalism and really diverting people from the real dangers, which are the internal spiritual commands of the first table of the Ten Commandments. But it's a very important question and one that I'm not going to be able to answer in 2 minutes.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about Christians and gaming. We'll also get into the subject of can it be done without sin? Can anything be done without sin? And the issues of isolation and addiction.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues Etc. Reformation Week.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about Christians and gaming. Pastor Jonathan Fisk, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania, and host of a video podcast called Worldview Everlasting, is our guest. Hey, before we go on, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about Worldview Everlasting.
Sure. World Be Everlasting is a video podcast on YouTube, a YouTube channel. In layman's terms, it's a 10 to 15 minute TV show that airs twice a week online only. And what I do there is I talk about the upcoming gospel text for the coming Sunday, using a little bit of the Greek to really look at the text of Scripture and preach it, but with a lot of imagery and pop culture references and goofiness. And then on Fridays is Ask the Pastor 2.0, where I respond to email questions, usually dealing with apologetics in some way or systematic theology. And what it is an attempt to do something different with the new media, this new technology that we've been talking about. 20 years ago, if you'd been in the Missouri Synod and wanted to have a TV show, it would have almost been out of reach. Today, anybody with a camcorder and a computer can do it. I think, from what I've seen, I was just the first one to try, but I'm pretty sure more will be on the way eventually.
Yeah, you set the bar pretty high, though, Jonathan, I must say, and I highly recommend.
Well, thank you.
Great teaching, by the way. If you can keep up with his breakneck pace, great teaching for Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We'll post a link to the video podcast, Worldview Everlasting, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Oh, so before we were talking about fantasy, is there anything good about it?
I think so. You know, and this is a debate that is some may disagree, but I do. And really, I would point to C.S. Lewis as a key example of this. Human beings need stories. We're going to tell stories. We're going to look for stories. It's part of what it means to be human. It's part of what it means to be a Christian, to be caught up in the cosmic story of the fall and redemption through the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But throughout history, even outside of Christianity, people have needed stories, A, for entertainment, but also B, to learn from, to learn moral values from and cultural norms, and to be inspired by. And so stories take on different forms. In our age, there are so many ways that various cultures have come together to let these stories be told. Fantasy is just a throwback to ancient mythology, which, as a Christian, you're perfectly capable of saying, that's not true, I don't believe it, it's just a story. In fact, more so, ancient mythology, there would have been people who actually believed it. Modern fantasy, no one believes it's real, or maybe the few that do in a corner, everyone else kind of looks at them funny because they don't know what they're doing. So fantasy, yeah, there is a good side to it because it gives us stories, and stories are often an avenue not only for hope, but for classic themes which Christians need and love, like redemption, like good triumphing over evil, like looking to the return of the king, if you want to throw Tolkien in there, things like that.
You mentioned before also legalism, and a lot of Christians are going to simply knee-jerk this one and say, look, World of Warcraft, pagan overtones, a classic kind of pagan mythology, escape from reality. They picture 40-year-old men sitting in their mother's basement with a headset on, and they say Christians just shouldn't do it, and they just make the rule. It stay away. What's your response?
My first response is, if that's your piety, feel free not to play. That's awesome. That you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you want to make a rule of it, the problem is, where are you going to stop? Because once you say no to this, you've got to start saying a no to other forms of story that in any way imply a less than perfect worldview. You just go back sometime and watch like a 1950s musical and pay attention to the sexual innuendo that comes up in these musicals. You know, if you're going to start saying we can't watch anything that's not perfect or doesn't perfectly convey the way Jesus would have us live in paradise, you got to turn the TV off, you got to stop playing games altogether, and next thing you know, you are trying to repristinate the Puritan ethos, which didn't go very well in its time. So the question with piety is always, can it be your own piety? Because once you start trying to make it somebody else's piety as well, that's pietism.
Okay, this is, and I think we should probably have said from the outset, this is, while it's associated with youth, this is no world for kids, especially when we talk about some of these, the online gaming, not really a world for children. Talk about that.
Yeah, certainly, and this is really just online. Online is not a world for children by themselves at all. It is important that parents teach their children media literacy, how to use a television set in a healthy way, which, by the way, if we want to talk about addictions and problems, I think TV is a far greater problem in American culture and the way we use it than gaming. But gaming is a growing problem. Online especially, though, for children, is a place where they can meet strangers from all over the world, who are capable of doing all sorts of things. And so media literacy, teaching our children how to use new media and technology, is an important thing for parents to do, which means not shoving it all away and saying we're going to be like the Amish and not, you know, wear anything except for our special buttons, but instead to sit down with our kids and teach them about these technologies and demonstrate for them a healthy way of using them. The same way that I would hope that in many families you would demonstrate how to use, say, alcohol in a healthy way, how to have a glass of wine but not be living in drunkenness. This needs to be done for technology. Now, World of Warcraft itself, there are elements of the game early on that a very young kid could play with a parent safely. As the game progresses, it gets a little more intense and difficult. But then the other issue that comes up, which we're kind of leaning towards, so I'm going to go there, is the issue of addiction and compulsiveness. And video games themselves, for some reason, have the capability of becoming a compulsive behavior, a behavior that really controls a person and takes more time from them than they realize. This is habit forming, and I think for many, these habits form in young adulthood or in high school, junior high school age. For my generation, I'm 32, I think this took us a little bit by surprise because no one had these things called video games before. And so we were just allowed to sit with our Nintendo in our room, and who knows what we were doing as far as our parents were aware, but we were playing for 4, 5, 6 hours straight, just sitting there staring at a screen. It's probably not a healthy thing, and it's something now that is more and more capable of happening because the games, like I said, are more advanced and more fun in many ways. And so what we're finding is that there are real addictions that are taking place. I believe in the last 6 years or so, there have even been 2 World of Warcraft-related deaths, both of them in Asia, from people who did not eat or sleep for several days because they were playing the game, and they died. They just died from exhaustion. This is a real issue that needs to be dealt with. It is a matter of self-control, the same way it would be for any other substance abuse or entertainment. But it's something many people aren't aware of. And so just to hand your children a game system and say, see you, we'll be back in a couple hours, it is irresponsible parenting, very much so.
Okay, then with only 1 minute, no more, bottom line for us on this, about the this new world, is it in some sense kind of like stepping out of your house? It's a different environment, but it's a place where the Christian will, of choice or of necessity, have to continue to live as a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a vocation. It's a hobby. The same way that you might get together to work on your chopper with your biking friends, or you might go to a gardening club, or you might, 50 years ago, I believe they got together on Thursday nights to play Pinochle for a couple of hours. It's a vocation. And while you're there, you live in your vocation, which means you try to help your neighbor where you can, and you, if you have a chance, confess what you believe. How often does it happen in online gaming communities? Not very often in the gameplay, although in these kind of behind-the-scene communities that occur, which not only happen in PC games but also PlayStation and Xbox, you can talk to friends while you play via the computer. In those situations, you're forming real-life relationships just like you would anywhere else. And those relationships, when real life gets tough, will turn to things spiritual, and the Christian very much needs to be there for his friends to be able to confess the truth of the gospel, that Christ has died and risen for the forgiveness of all of our sins. If we abandon these places, abandon these vocations, then we abandon the people who are there, and, they'll die without having heard.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania. He's host of a video podcast called Worldview Everlasting. We'll have a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Jonathan, thank you very much.
A joy as always.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse of the Ruth Institute answer the question, is sex just a recreational activity? Also tomorrow, we'll continue our Women in the Bibles series, talking to Dr. Daniel Gard of Concordia Theological Seminary about one name you know, and one you don't, Jezebel, you know, and Athaliah, I'm pretty sure you don't. We'll talk about both of them in our Women in the Bible series tomorrow with Dr. Dan Gard of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Folks, we're 5 days away from Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We want you to help us promote it in your congregation. That means getting something in your bulletin. We've made it easy. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find there right at the top, according to your time zone, a bulletin insert that you can download, print off, and put in your church's bulletin to help promote Issues Etc. Reformation Week beginning Monday, the 18th of October. Monday, October 18th, the beginning of Reformation Week here on Issues Etc. We'll bring you topics and some of the best guests from our stable of guests, topics all related to the 16th century Reformation to celebrate with our listeners Reformation Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.